armed and angry nation? It is time, General, to stack our arms. In fact, that is the first step. That is my first request of you. Stack your arms and disband your army.
And who will enforce the laws once we have them?
The regular army. The police.
They're the ones we just fought and beat. Give me your watch. Give me your watch. Give it to me.
It's a beautiful watch.
Expensive. I'll take my rifle. Now you can have your watch back. But without this, never.
You draw a strong moral. You ask us to disarm. How could we get our land or keep it if we disarm?
But it's not that simple. It's a matter of time.
And time! Time is one thing to a lawmaker, but to a farmer there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. And you cannot plant and harvest time.
General Zapata, do you trust me?
Just the way my people trust me. I trust you and they trust me as long as we keep our promises. Not a moment longer.
Where are you going?
I'm going home. What will you do there?
I will wait, but not for long.
Yeah, by God, without the guns, never. Never give up the guns. Terrible Tommy here, White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance radio calling. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here on a beautiful day in the Midwest, northern Indiana. Yeah, we got sun, even snow's melting a little. Hey, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, and that's where you send your donations for our vast amount of programs here that we're trying to put on for you, baby. There's no other program like this. No. Some come close. Some hint at it. But none of them say it like we do on here. If there is, I don't know. Okay. All right. Let's get this show on the road. Well, with the tick of the clock, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. If you can't sense it, if you can't feel it, not necessarily in 6 months or a year, or maybe several years, but it's coming. It's inevitable. This country is too split up along party lines, along religious lines, along racial lines, along all of that stuff. So, anyhow, keep your antennas up. Keep your ear to the ground. Keep your ear to the railroad track, like we used to do when I was a kid, to see whether the train was coming. Because it's coming. First comes the economic collapse. That's the first thing, and everything else will come out of that. Listen to the Sarah Palin. It's actually sad, but it's funny. What a dogged pony show that's turning out to be. And she's crying about Obama not doing anything for the veterans. She's crying about that, and we got to do more for the veterans. Yeah, send more of them over there to get their ass blown off in places where they shouldn't even be. But let me tell you something. Guess who took $1.5 billion out of the VA budget, out of the budget for the VA? Guess who? Democrats? No. Obama? No. It was the goddamn Republicans. The Republican Congress had cut out $1.5 billion that was supposed to go to the veterans and the VA. You get it? Do you get it? I'm telling you, no better liars than those Republicans. The Democrats, they're pretty much out in the open. Oh, they lie when they need to, but they're pretty much out in the open with everything you don't like. The Republicans, they're a sneaky bunch of bastards. That RNC, boy, if that isn't a clusterfuck.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. You better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Well, here's the kind of letter I like to receive. Thank you, Mr. Metzger. Separatist greetings again. This is Brother Blank Blank. I duly received your letter on my survival and my survival packet, an issue I was having with being able to send Dennis Mahan money for his stay there in the Kentucky Penitentiary. I assure you he will get a $25 donation credited to his account, just as Reverend Hale did earlier this month, and so shall all the other POWs in the future, in their own due time. I have made it a point to send the POWs $25 donation every month, alternating between prisoners, so that every prisoner gets an adequate donation distributed fairly. I will not forget them. I want to be in good standing with War and the other comrades who may be involved with other white nationalists, Aryan socialists, white racist organizations, party members, and lone wolf activists alike. I cannot help out in many ways as I would like, but I can send donations to War and all the POWs deserving of special treatment for their services and dedication to our cause and struggle. Anything else simply would not do. You have my word that I can guarantee you. It's good as gold. Thank you. Sincerely, Blank. Well, that's the kind we like to get. Yeah. Keep that money going to the POWs. They deserve it, because I don't think many of them get it from any place else. Unless it's their own families And then a lot of times even their own families either don't have the money or just don't send the money. Well, I saw a great movie last night on Amazon, on the internet. I'm almost positive the title was In the Sins of the Father. It took place over in Ireland and England during the Irish-English War that went on for so long. Two guys were in the wrong place at the right time, and there was a bombing went off in a restaurant down the street. And since they didn't have really good alibis, they got picked up. But the situation was, not only they pick up these two guys, but they pick up one of the guy's whole family, his mother, his father, his little brothers and sisters, all of them, tried him. Evidently, it was a real sensational trial in England. Sent them all to prison. And a few years later, they caught the real bomber who really had done it. He told the cops, prison officials, that the guys that they got in prison, the family didn't do it. But the cops and so forth hid the evidence. And these people ended up doing 15 years, the whole family, before they finally got out. His father died in prison. The reason I think people should watch these kind of films is because it shows you how really these cops and prison personnel and wards and all of them put together, there's so many, many liars and dishonest people. And if they think it'll put a feather in their hat and get a conviction, including the judges, they'll do it. And they never want to admit they were wrong. You can imagine how many hundred, how many thousand people are in these prisons that are innocent. Luckily for DNA, a lot of them are getting out. But it really is a statement of how rotten the system is. And how if they once get a hold of you, they'll dummy up evidence and everything else to keep you in prison or jail. Sins of the Father. If you can't find it under that, tell me and I'll look again. I don't know whether you saw this in the news. I think I talked about it when it happened. It happened in the Congress in the 2014, a Republican Congress. It once was illegal to cut promised pension benefits, but at the end of 2014, Congress voted to change that for some. It did so with no debate, no hearings. The Multi-Employer Pension Reform Act was attached to a must-pass omnibus spending bill. Quote, too big to fail means one thing for banks and another thing for union pension funds. When banks are on the verge of collapse, Congress bails them out. When union pension funds are in mortal danger, Congress changes the law to let them shaft retirees. Did you miss that news flash? So did many of the 407,000 unsuspecting Teamsters, mainly former truck drivers, who received letters in October announcing whether their pension benefits will be cut. Now, this is not just for Teamsters. They said here in Indiana that as from a couple of years ago, they said I think it was 5 or 10 years, all the pensions would be cut in half or more. And I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear any marching in the streets or anything. People just don't react. 2/3 of them got bad news. The Central States Pension Fund claims it will be reducing members' retirement checks by an average of 23%. Union activists say that the figure is much higher, and for some of the reductions will top 60%. Now remember, this is not just unions. They already hit Indiana. They voted for a right-to-work cheap law here, and they're claiming how wonderful business is. Well, of course, it's big business for the rich, and the big corporations are moving in here like mad. They say we're going to have a big boost in business activity right here in this little town where I'm at. Well, of course, because they've got the wages down so low. That means hardship for people who have deferred compensation for their entire work lives in exchange for a pension. Bills won't be paid and mortgages won't be met, and it will be through no fault of their own. It once was illegal to cut promised pension benefits, but at the end of 2014, Congress voted to change that. That's a Republican Congress with the help of some Democrats, I'm sure. For some, it did so with no debate and no hearings, and the Multi-Employer Pension Reform Act was attached to a must-pass omnibus spending bill. President Barack Obama signed it a few days later. The law permitted the so-called multi-employer pension plans run jointly by unions and employers to apply to the Treasury Department to reduce benefits. And that's what the central states did in October. That was last year. Union members will notionally get a chance to vote on the cuts. But anyhow, that's what's coming. That's what's coming, and people are just sitting on their ass. I can't believe the working class people in this country, especially the white people. I mean, you could piss down their leg and they think it's the rain, and still vote for these bastards, especially voting for these Republicans. Voting, period, is a pain in the ass. It's insane when both sides of the aisle are crooked as hell. But the Republicans here in the Midwest keep screwing these people over and over and over, and they think they're, and then they lie to them, tell them, oh, we're doing you a good thing. Just go to church and pray for us. This is from the American Spectator, which is a conservative right-wing outfit. Over at NRO, National Republican Organization, David French says things aren't so bad where it concerns the Republicans in 2016 presidential race by making the "we're not Democrats" argument. I hope French will forgive me if I don't feel reassured. Yes, it appears that Hillary Clinton has broken a litany of laws, and very serious ones at that. But does anyone seriously think the Obama Justice Department is going to prosecute her? Is Bernie Sanders going to suddenly make an issue of her damned emails? Not a chance on both counts. Hillary is above the law, and that is just fine with a lot of people in this country. It keeps Donald Trump out of the White House. Yeah. This isn't to say that Hillary is generating the passion that Bernie is. Far from it. But while Democrats are worried, there are a few hardcore Bernie supporters who won't vote for Hillary. When push comes to shove, most of them will pick Hillary, any Republicans, any day of the week, and twice on Sunday, where Trump is concerned. I strongly suspect that the 2016 presidential election could end up like the 1991 Louisiana gubernatorial race between Edwin Edwards and David Duke. It may be unfair to compare Trump to Duke. Yeah, probably Duke is not as sleazy. I don't know. But Trump's incendiary language against Mexicans and Muslims makes him a little different from Duke in the eyes of Democrats. Progressive Democrats, that is. The slogan from that election was, "Vote for the crook. It's important." I was down there one time when I was handling Duke's run for state representative, and I got to meet that Governor Edwards. He was a slick operator, crooked as a dog's hind leg. He hung out in Vegas most of the time, spending taxpayers' money. The slogan, okay, given what is at stake, I believe there will be a lot fewer Democrats who refuse to vote for Hillary than Republicans who refuse to vote for Trump. Even if most Republicans do come around and support Trump, it will not be enough to offset the majority of Democrats and independents and who cannot stand the sight of Trump. If Nate Silver is right, and he invariably is when it comes to polling data, Trump is going to get walloped in November, in which case it isn't the Democrats who need to be worried. No, the Republicans are going gradually coming apart. That party's going to fracture. It's got to fracture. But I'll tell you, boys and girls, Trump's not going to be the president. No, he's not going to be. No matter how some of the things he says you like, he's not going to be the president. She's going to be the president unless they put her in jail. And like the guy says, the Justice Department's never going to move against her. But what the hell do we care? What the hell do we care? Lone wolves don't care. We want to see a pox on their whole house. Both houses go down the tube. We're all for it. We wouldn't lift a finger to stop it. One thing good, whether intentioned or not, which Trump is stirring up the racial argument again. That's the one good thing about it. And he'll deny it all the way down the line. But so that helps us. Well, after more than 2 weeks, the anti-government militia militants currently occupying the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon have broken out the ram's horns, you know, like the Jews run around with. Quote, Christians, the battle trumpet has been sounded. Time to rise, unquote, wrote Blaine Cooper, one of the group's leaders, who posted a video of two militiamen blowing shofars into the Facebook. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. The Christian fanatics mixed with the militia. Quote, call to action. Send in the troops to stand with us in Burns, Oregon, unquote. There's going to be some guys who go up there, go all the way up there, maybe from clear across the country, spend hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars, and if they don't end up getting their ass blown off, they still may end up getting thrown in jail. Now, here's the thing. They ain't all that bad at it. Ever tried to blow a battle trumpet made of a ram's horn? Yeah, well, how about doing it in 30-degree weather during a standoff with the U.S. government? Didn't think so. So if you're planning to join the militia in Oregon and you need to brush up on your ram horn blowing skills, consider the following Vox Tablet podcast with expert shofar blower Ira Resnick. He's got you covered. Oh, that's not one of these taquillas or shofars. That's a rabbi farting. How about it? Well, do you think the Jews are safe in Germany yet? On Tuesday, Patrick Jinsing, a journalist for German website Tagesschau.de, published a report that explored the question, are Jews in Germany safe? In short, he wrote, they feel threatened. Well, when was a Jew not feeling threatened? I never saw them when they weren't being threatened. Let's see here. Let's get on with this thing here. The article, which was picked up by the Jerusalem Post, quotes Daniel Keeley, a spokesman for the Jewish community in Hamburg, who said, we are no longer safe here, reported the Post. He said the disintegration of state power in Germany, excesses of the extreme right wing, and the loss of political credibility, and the terrible fear of naming Islamism as such, have contributed to an insecure environment for Jews. Hamburg's Jewish community has nearly 2,500 members. Well, I can see why they have a problem. They're stuck between the Hollywood Nazis and the ISIS and the all the air about you. So I wouldn't feel very safe if I was a Jew in Germany either. The article written in German details a number of recent instances of anti-Jewism in Germany, including in Wuppertal, where the Jewish population is about 2,000. Okay, here, what are we at here? I went too far. Jensen wrote about a wave of hatred at the hate-filled demonstrations against the Gaza war, unquote. In 2014, an Israeli couple were attacked during the period. Also, three Palestinians attempted to torch a Wuppertal city synagogue, one that had previously been burned by the Germans in 1938. A local court sentenced the Palestinians to probation and stated that the act of arson was not anti-Semitism because the men sought to draw attention to the Gaza war. Oh, man, that's like the double talk you hear about blacks in this country, you know. Come on. The regional court on Monday imposed a more severe sentence on the men. Ishmael A., 29, and Muhammad E., 25, and Jamal A., 19. German media protects perpetrators and victims' privacy by not editing their full last names. Two of the men are from the West Bank, and the other is from the Gaza Strip. It is unclear what the increased punishment is going to be. According to a Monday Spiegel article, the approximately 2,000 Jews in Wuppertal no longer feel safe. The head of the Wuppertal Jewish community, Lonnie Goldberg, said that, "I thought the time of the packed suitcases was for always over. Now I am considering when we need to again pack those suitcases and get the hell out of Germany." It's funny. You wouldn't think it would be because the Arabs have moved in. That's funny. You'd have thought it was a overwhelming number of Hollywood Nazis moved into Germany. No. It's the ragheads. Well, I see ISIS is hunting homosexual men to toss them from the rooftops of Raqqa, the nearly 80 countries proscribe homosexuality. Yet for a 36-hour period earlier this week, the National LGBTQ Task Force chose to ally itself not with the one country in the Middle East that guarantees and protects the human rights of LGBTQ people, but with those who hang them from the construction cranes. So the Jews can't get anybody to be their buddies. Even their buddies aren't their buddies. It's terrible. No wonder they're paranoid. Jaime, just remember, keep that suitcase by your back door. Well, did you know South Africa is now the rape capital of the world? I've got some stuff around here I think I'll play for you if I can find it. South Africa dropped from a superior civilization and culture to being the rape capital of the world. How about that? Well, I can't find that deal on South Africa, but it was on the BBC. Yeah, you might be able to find it again on the BBC. Listen to this. For minority students, that means mostly Negroes, surviving and thriving academically despite multiple encounters with racism and stereotyping may require a different type of resolve than do typical college student struggles like balancing work and class or overcoming difficult assignments. It's too tough, professor. I can't figure this out. W.E.B. Du Bois, the mulatto, coined the concept of double consciousness. Oh, whereby black people are essentially forced to have two identities and pressured to view themselves as they're perceived by their non-black peers. That psychology can create a unique circumstance for black students today, a psychology some researchers argue may even lead to mental problems that go unnoticed. Well, that's what I'm trying to do. of trying to cure the black people of their of these mental problems. I should get the Pulitzer Prize because with separation, racial separation, cultural separation, and so on, you wouldn't have all this problem. There wouldn't be any nutty black people. No. They'd be fine, upstanding black people in their own culture and race. So let's get behind old Terrible Tommy and help these people, right? Well, the New Orleans Saints team are denying allegations that they're racist. Gee, I didn't know that. Oscars 2016, Dustin Hoffman sees subliminal racism. Dustin Hoffman has told the BBC that he believes the lack of diversity or race mixing in this year's Oscar nominations is down to subliminal racism. That's a new one. For the second year running, no black, Negro, or nigger, or minority ethnic actors have been nominated in the four Oscars acting categories. Hoffman said the lack of recognition of nigger actors was part of a wider problem in the U.S. Yeah, race mixing, multiculturalism. You quit that, let people separate, divide, tribalize, and so forth, and you'll see your troubles disappear. Well, in the fight game, McGregor has threatened Mayweather with death over racism comments. How about that? Let's see what this is all about. Now, you thought Christ insanity was big here in the United States and in Israel and places like that? Every year, numbers of Russians jumping into frozen ponds and lakes on January the 19th to celebrate the baptism of Jesus grows. The traditional ceremony dates back 1,000 years when Russia was first baptized by monks from the Eastern Roman Empire. Well, that was a disaster. This year, according to Interfax, the number of people participating in the ritual was about 2 million. Temperatures in Russia yesterday ranged from minus 10 degrees Celsius in Moscow to minus 20 in Siberia. 45,000 policemen and soldiers were assigned to the ice holes to assist the bathers. I'm not kidding you. In Moscow alone, some 90,000 people went into the water. This statistic suggests that the plunge is twice as popular outside Moscow as in the capital. Russia Insider was there to join the fun. Watch your volunteer coordinator, David Curry, take an icy, adrenaline-boosting dip. Wow.
David Curry here, reporting for Russia Insider. I am in northern Sergiy Posad called Ptitsa Grad, which is Bird City. So what we do is we cut a giant hole in the ice here. It is negative 11 out today, and we use the ice to make a ice cross. And it is tradition on this day to plunge in the ice-cold water that's been blessed by the priest after liturgy this morning. So here we go.
Now it's showing these fools getting ready to jump in
the
water.
No joke, this is seriously cold.
Now he's down to his shorts. It's 11 below zero. All he's got on is his boxer shorts. Begin to wonder which is crazier, communism or Christianity. I think they're equally crazy for different things, for different reasons.
Because he was gay.
Our Melissa Hippolyte is live right now to tell us what she's been able to find out about this case. Melissa? I'm told the alleged assault had a very negative impact on the victim, and he's hoping today's charge will help him put this incident behind him.
The attacker came up behind the victim and just pummeled him.
Brad Kuttner is describing what the victim of an alleged hate crime at the Amazon shipping facility in Chester said happened to him on the job in May of last year.
The final product was a giant black eye.
Kuttner first reported the story for GayRVA.com and exclusively interviewed the victim after the attack.
So I was calling the Department of Justice and the U.S. Attorney's Office and saying, you know, hey, they're... You had someone, and again, there's video of this attack. There's a confession.
He says through his reporting, he learned there is security video of the incident, and the perpetrator allegedly admitted to doing it because he thought the victim was gay.
This has fundamentally changed the victim's life.
The man who allegedly committed the assault, James William Hill III, was originally charged by Chesterfield police with misdemeanor assault, not a hate crime. CBS 6 legal analyst Todd Stone explains why.
Somebody could be charged with a hate crime that involves sexual orientation in the federal system, whereas it would not be a criminal offense in the state system.
The misdemeanor charge was ultimately null prost, and the feds took the case, charging Hill Tuesday with a hate crime. That charge ups the potential penalty from a maximum 12 months behind bars to 10 years in prison. Time, Kuttner says, could help to prevent future hate crimes.
Maybe if other people know that this is what happens when you take these steps, and maybe if you see the impact.
Now, I reached out to Amazon about the incident. A spokesperson pointed me to a statement they had already released to GayRVA right after the attack. In that statement, they said they do not tolerate discrimination, and Hill had been terminated. Working for you tonight in Richmond, I'm Melissa Hippolyte for CBS 6.
There you go, boys. You better keep your hands off those homosexuals, because you can get 10 years for punching one of them in the mouth. But if they punch you in the mouth, forget it. That's what most people don't understand about these hate crimes, how they're one-way street. If you're white and heterosexual, simple assault's the best they can do. Well, they're getting pretty excitable over there in Israel. Vandals spray-painted graffiti at the home of Professor Yaakov Malkin, director of Temura, the International Institute for Humanistic Secular Judaism, in Jerusalem's German colony Thursday morning. A Star of David and the phrases Psalms 139, 21, 24, and destruction of Amalek were scrawled on the fence surrounding his home. A knife and an envelope containing a threatening letter were also found at the scene, reading, quote, "A Jew whose hands are bloody reside on your street. This Jew received a severe warning." Wow. Letter to Malkin said, among other things, "This is a warning for you to immediately end all atheist and heretic activity that you take part in or lead. You must absolutely and immediately stop your actions to dismiss and incite the people of Israel from their God. Should you continue your actions and following the warning, know that you yourself are choosing to forsake your fate and future. Do not cross the line. This isn't a futile warning. It's completely and absolutely serious. Treat as one. You will not receive another warning." So I guess they got this guy, whoever did it, and charged him with a Jewish hate crime. How about that? That's a new one, a Jewish hate crime. On for the books, over in England, somebody took their finger and put a racial graffiti on somebody's car in the snow. And they're investigating it as a hate crime. Hey, man, it's getting pretty wild out there. You're going to love this one. HB 95 is a disturbing proposal to add law enforcement officers to New Mexico's hate crime statute, even though they already have special protection under existing law. Representative and screwball Nate Gentry, Republican of Albuquerque, one of the sponsors of HB 95, told the Albuquerque Journal that the purpose of the bill is to discourage anti-police rhetoric. In other words, you know what that means. You can't say anything nasty about cops. it is not appropriate to use the criminal code to stop the public from criticizing the police. Well, that's true. This threat to free speech and accountability demonstrates how far away HB 95 is from the real true purpose of a hate crimes law. ADL is at the forefront of local and state and federal efforts to deter bias-motivated crimes, and we are leading non-governmental organization providing training for law enforcement nationwide. While we recognize the importance of preventing violence against police, adding them as protected class under the hate crime law is a misguided approach. Wow. The best way to provide special protection for law enforcement officers is to impose enhanced penalties for crimes against them. New Mexico already has laws triggering high penalties for attacks on a police officer without additional requirement of proving that the attack was motivated by hate, which should be that way with everybody. Serving as a law enforcement officer is not the same as having personal characteristics that are protected by the hate crime statutes. Race, religion, color, national origin, ancestry, age, handicap status, gender, sexual orientation, and gender identity. Now, you cops, you're none of them. These represent immutable characteristics that cannot or should not be changed. They pertain to personal identity, not to professional role. Long-standing bias and history of intimidation based on these traits explain the need for anti-discrimination laws that cover housing, the workplace, the public accommodations, and the hate crime statutes. I told you 2 or 3 years ago that you didn't get rid of communism. They got rid of it in Russia, but they moved the social aspects of communism to the United States. That's all that happened. They changed location. Well, it looks like the university down there in Missouri sort of stepped in a pile of cow shit. Racial politics. The University of Missouri thought it would win black students' hearts and minds by throwing its president to the race-mongering wolves. But it only lost future enrollees with such shameless appeasement. Ha ha. Mizzou is lamenting a sudden drop-off in student applications. Freshman applications in 2015 fell 5% from the previous year, while graduate student applications plunged 19%. Mizzou officials cited racial protests that rocked the school last fall. Egged on by Black Lives Matter agitators, racial tensions on the campus erupted in September after the black student body president and other activists lodged a vague complaint of an unspecified racial slur shouted at a single black student allegedly by a passing motorist. The activists weren't even sure if the offending person was a student there. Then there was a report of a tiny swastika drawn on the wall of a dormitory bathroom in a dormitory. No one's sure if it was intended to insult Jews or blacks. No matter, students of color insisted that the two incidents symbolized the systematic oppression expressed by them at the university, and so they demanded that President Tim Wolf step down, and he did, followed by the chancellor. Both of them are white. Where were their racist crimes, or what were the racist crimes? They didn't move fast enough on their own pre-protest plan to promote diversity or race mixing, though efforts had already begun on an online diversity training program. Activists also complained Wolf had the nerve to choose not to get out and talk to the threatening mob after it surrounded and blocked the convertible he was riding in during a homecoming parade. Tensions boiled over. Black students staged hunger strikes, and African-American football players threatened to boycott games until Wolf left. Groups of blacks cordoned off areas that were off-limits to white students. Isn't that segregation? The militancy scared off parents and students. Enrollment declines are so bad that officials are calling accepted students to encourage them to attend. Clearly pandering to race baiters, black race baiters, has backfired. Yet other colleges haven't learned the painful lesson. Last week, Tom Roshan, the white head of Ithaca College, quit over phony charges of racism drummed up by black race mongers. His resignation came after months-long protests over the claims of racial injustice at the school. These misguided militants are cutting off their noses to spite their face. Well, that's typically a nigger thing to do. By hurting enrollment, they're jeopardizing the resources and scholarship money that could help African-American students. Oh. Gee, I didn't know I was doing that, man. I really fucked up, man. You know, if they keep this all-white thing at the Oscars up, I'm going to go to every movie twice. Yeah, I like it.
Some over the lack of diversity in this year's list of Oscar nominees. Filmmaker Spike Lee and actress Jada Pinkett Smith say they're not going to go to the Oscars next month after an all-white list of nominees was announced for the major categories for second
Who
year in a row.
Here
is now to weigh in, actress and Fox News contributor Stacey Dash. Stacey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think about this?
I think it's ludicrous.
Why?
Because we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET channel?
No, I don't think so, no. Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month. You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Are you saying there shouldn't be a Black History Month because there isn't a White History Month?
Exactly, exactly.
Al Sharpton has jumped on this boycott bandwagon. He says, don't watch because Hollywood... Here's a quote. Hollywood has become like the Rocky Mountains. The higher you get, the whiter.
The whiter you get. Well, that's not necessarily true. And if it is, you know, that needs to change. What I find astounding is that we've had a president who is black in office for the past 8 years, who gets most of his funding from the liberal elite in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there are not very many roles for people of color. How can that be? And why is it just now being addressed?
I can understand Jada Pinkett Smith's frustration that her husband wasn't nominated for, you know, he did a great job in the movie Concussion.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what does that say about how people are selected for these awards?
Right. That's assuming they're selected by race, which I think would be a very a disservice to the people who are looking at the films and making the choices. Maybe they need to be more, you know, integrated and there need to be more diverse people in the process of electing.
In the Academy.
In the Academy.
The demographics of the Academy apparently are secret, but for the most part, according to some investigation out in Hollywood, it's predominantly white males.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God!
Really?
Yeah.
We gotta
so
stop
maybe that,
that
says something about who they select, or are they looking for that, or the best movies and the best actors?
I hope they're looking for the best movies and the best actors.
We
the good news
the
is that there's a tension brought to it now. But like I said, over the past 8 years, we've had a president who's black, who gets his funding mainly from Hollywood.
The
elite
mulatto.
Liberals.
Yeah.
So it's odd to me that this has now become such an issue.
Well, let's see what happens, because they are calling for people not to watch it. Let's see if the ratings go down.
I doubt it.
By the way, before you go, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
It's her birthday today. All right,
thank
Stacey.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
What is this gal? What is this gal? She's a mulatto. Come on, she's not black. Yeah, Obama's not black. He's half white. Come on. I think the half-blacks should fight it out with the blacks. That's what I think. And the best winner out of that, then fight the whites. That's me. Well, here's the old boy Art Jones, who was quite well-known around right-wing circles in Chicago. Says here, a man with ties to neo-Nazi movements in Illinois and Wisconsin, who was running as a Republican to become a U.S. representative for the 3rd District Congressional District, has been removed from the ballot for flagrant disregard of the election code. Arthur J. Jones of Lyons needed at least 548 signatures to register voters to qualify to seek the congressional office. Based on a hearing and examination of records, the Illinois State Election Board ruled Wednesday that Jones didn't have any valid signatures. Wait a minute. Come on, Art. let's see here. Jones' petition contains no petition sheets which remain valid. Therefore, the candidate has no valid signatures, the ruling states. The election board didn't believe Jones abided by the election code. Based on a statement made in a ruling about Jones' evidence, quote, the evidence at the hearing in the form of nominating petitions and the candidate's testimony shows a flagrant disregard for the election code, man, the ruling states. Heather Kimmons, legal counsel for the election board, declined to specify why the signatures Jones submitted were not valid. Oh, she wouldn't even say why? Oh. There were numerous bases, she said. Number one, he's a Nazi. Number two, he's a racist. Number three, he's white. Number three, he's a taxpayer. Jones is a former member of the American National Socialist Workers Party and has questioned in previous campaigns whether the Holocaust actually occurred. He has run several times in the 3rd Congressional District and for mayor of Chicago. The Anti-Defecation League reports he has been involved with racist and anti-Jewish groups since the 70s. The removal of Jones from the ballot means that there will be no GOP candidate in the primary on March 15th for the district that includes Western Springs and LaGrange, as well as portions of southwest side of Chicago and southwest suburbs, though the Republican Party may appoint a candidate later. Incumbent Representative Dan Lipinski, a Democrat from Western Springs, is uncontested in his primary. Jones did not immediately respond to a phone call January 20th. State Representative Emmanuel Chris Wells, a Democrat from Hillside, whose petitions also were questioned, will appear on the primary ballot in the 7th District Court. The Cook County Board of Elections ruled in Welch's favor over an objection to his petitions. The legal number of signatures Welch required is 500. He submitted 839 valid signatures, according to a ruling made January 11th by the election board. Welch said he expected his petitions to be found valid. The objection was frivolous from the start. I wasn't concerned about it because I appeal to the black people. It was never a distraction to me getting out into the community and meeting with my constituents, he said. He said he made sure his petitions met legal requirements before filing them. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. How about that? Poor Art Jones, he's been like the lonely Linwood Ford dealer up there for a long time. So there will be no neo-Nazis on the ballot in Chicago. It's time for revolution. This is over in Britain. A neo-Nazi fanatic who was sent to prison after he posted a death camp image online is now being investigated after it emerged he has been sending out fan letters covered in sick doodles from his cell. This guy went to jail because he posted a death camp image online. You see, that's how crazy it's getting. Joshua Bonehill Payne, 23, of Yeovil, Somerset, was imprisoned for inciting racial hatred after he posted a link on Twitter with an image of Auschwitz and a bottle of weed killer ahead of a neo-Nazi rally in London. Well, That's something to keep the people's minds off the real problems, isn't it? Yeah, we don't want to talk about murdering millions, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people in the Middle East and Europe being totally avalanched by invaders. No, we don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about this guy. Bonehill Payne was jailed for 3 years and 4 months following a trial in December. Jeez. But now, just a month later, he is being investigated by the prison service over letters sent from his cell to correspondents on the outside. In his letters, Bonehill Payne mocks the British taxpayer for having paid £120,000 for his prison stay, while he drinks tea, smokes, eats, and watches TV. I think that's good that he did criticize the British taxpayers. They deserve it. Cartoon drawings of Hitler, the Twin Towers, and Harold Shipman cover the envelopes he sent them in. He describes H.M.P. Wandsworth as a gross hotel, adding that he was learned things and made connections he never would have made on the outside. See, that's what happens. You ask for it, you get it, man. You send a guy to prison, he learns all kinds of good stuff. Boy, it's getting rough over there in England. Germany. A thug with a Hitler mustache and a swastika helmet beat a man to the floor before doing a Nazi salute and running. Wait a minute. Nazis don't run. The attacker approached two men on Sledding Hill. I think this is in Germany. Maybe it's in England. And started insulting them before knocking one to the floor. He then raised his arm in the style of a Nazi salute before running off from the concerned passerby. Cops are now hunting the man, described as sporting a Hitler mustache. It's getting crazy. The skinhead also wearing a Nazi-style helmet emblazoned with a swastika. The incident on Saturday south of Dresden in Germany was sparked when a neo-Nazi confronted two Afghan migrants. After verbally abusing them, "You dirty migrants," he hit the younger of the two, aged 21, on the head, sending him sprawling to the floor. After passersby intervened, police say the man showed the stiff arms Nazi salute, then fled the scene. The man, who is being sought on charges of assault and the display of a banned symbol, is described as a strongly built, about 25 to 30 years old, with a shaven head. Evil Adolf Hitler is thought to have been blown up in a bunker, but secret files emerged last week indicating he may have faked his death and fled to Tenerife. Where in the hell is that at? Where's Tenerife? I don't know. We'll have to look into this. Tell me, boys out there, lone wolves, where's Tenerife? Because I want to go down there and have a serious talk to Hitler, why he's so stupid to attack Russia. And why he didn't wipe out the expeditionary forces at Dunkirk. Come on. Why he slacked off when he was within 19 miles of Moscow. They wasted a whole bunch of time on Leningrad and all that stuff. I want to know all that stuff. And if he's over there in that Tenerife or wherever it's at, I want to talk to that boy. Well, the deputy commander of Azov, the Azov Brigade or Battalion, condemns an online provocation, saying the video is a fake. Ukraine's Azov Volunteer Battalion is responding to a provocative video posted on YouTube on January the 18th. The deputy commander of the battalion slams a clip in which several unidentified gunmen on behalf of Azov threaten violent retaliation against the Netherlands, as well as Dutch nationals in Ukraine. Andrei Diachevichko says the video is a pathetic provocation. What I want to know is why these Europeans are fighting in this Azov Volunteer Battalion for a corrupt state down there of Ukraine. Ukraine is being run by predatory capitalists right out of the United States, and a massive number of Jews. And these guys are supposed to be neo-Nazis? What the hell's that all about? Why aren't they back home where they belong, fighting for their race and nation where they come from? You know, all these Brit guys and, I guess, German guys and American guys. That's as crazy as the ISIS people. People are joining up with ISIS. I mean, what the hell's going on here? Typical Hollywood Nazi crap. And now the U.S. has agreed to give them money. Now the U.S. is never going to give real National Socialists any money unless they're serving their purpose. I'm telling you, it's crazy, man. It's crazy out there. And that's about it for today. Let's see, this is... Look at my wall here and see for sure. Wait a minute. My clock is screwed up. This is supposed to be Thursday, I believe. I'm getting terrible at checking the dates. I'll be back tomorrow. That'll be Friday, according to my Mickey Mouse watch. See you later. Five words. I have nothing to say, mother. And fada ida.
Did you think your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you? Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all.
Troublemaker, I'm the guy that used to date your little sister.